Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night.
Yeah.
A filthy motherfucker and I love to
come on.
Fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red.
Yeah.
No love for the other side, no need to be friends.
Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing.
Got an out chin check, so don't need an ass for the ticket.
That's
a ticket, man, I ain't gon' pay.
Yeah.
Got a dude 30 days locked up in CJ.
And twist the throttle.
Cabinet.
Going on.
Not much. Today's, 22nd. This is, the Tuesday edition of the Phil and Bill Show. I talked to, remember when I was trying to get a hold of a guy named, Eddie Cardenas?
Possibly.
Okay. He was at Bill Sunday.
Okay.
He's still on the Suns, and he's still doing some, he's on that gang-related also. But,
okay.
And then had an interesting talk, and we'll be talking to him in the next couple of shows. I'm not sure which day they'll work out.
Nice.
They're filming this week.
Right.
Emilio would have been on deck for Thursday, but they're filming that night. And then tomorrow he's got a birthday party. But he's going to be doing his comedy act. I don't know if you knew that. He used to be a comedian.
Yeah, I seen your post. I was reading that. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but he's a pretty busy guy.
Well, that's what keeps you young and humble, is to keep active.
Actually, it does. For the first time in a long time, Bill and I had been together in an event, and we actually were posing for pictures. They were taking
nice.
Our pictures. And all the photographers said, hey, well, we got you two guys together. We need some pictures.
Nice.
Also, we're going to be collecting the shoes again. And I put out I grabbed a mic from Bill, which was kind of hard to do. You know, he always likes to talk. You know, he never likes to talk.
Right, sure.
we had New York Mike, who owns San Diego Harley Davidson, was there, and
yeah.
I had seen him the Sunday before up at Rusty's, but talked a bit, and then Bill was talking, and then he handed the mic to Mike, and then he stood in front of Mike. So every time Mike might try to move to the right or left, Bill stood in front of him, so he couldn't talk. But
That's because he hasn't been on the radio in a while. He needs to air his views.
He told everybody that, you know, everybody knows what's going on. And for the last 12 years that I know of, every year when we have this bike blessing, with I think it's Bikers for Christ. Pretty sure that's
okay.
What it is. And we have Pastor Z. He gets everybody up there. And Kathy, his wife, made an appearance. She was in a wheelchair, of course, but she was all excited because people came up to her, said hello and everything. And she got to eat a little bit. And towards the end, they did the raffle. And then the last thing they did was people that wanted to renew their vows. So,
right.
Yeah. So, like I said, Bill's been doing it for as long as I know. I think the last 12 years now. But
nice.
Yeah, it was a pretty good day all around. And I put out a chapter challenge to all the clubs about collecting shoes. within the next couple of days, there'll be some boxes down at Bill's. Bring in all your old shoes.
Nice.
And what we're going to try to do is break the record we had last year.
Yeah, you had a lot last year.
Yeah, and I'm going to make some different arrangements so the people that collect them in the other states that want to donate to this, get them all picked up in one shot.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. Well, there was a little confusion last year, and some people got upset because basically when they called, they didn't drop what they were doing and go right there. And
okay.
as I say at work, when something happens and it's wrong, or somebody does something wrong, we always go no names. So no
right.
names. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So all that's going on, and then you know, Bill's mom was there. She's
nice.
She's legally blind, but she had a good time. She got to hear Bill speak and listen to Bill redo his vows.
Nice.
So it was a good day all around. A lot of I sent you guys a picture so you saw what was going on in the street.
Yep.
And full house.
That's awesome.
And most of all the clubs were there to represent, support.
Very cool.
Yeah. My first hour and a half was nothing but politics.
Of course.
Oh yeah. I got pulled into corners by different clubs, and things were said and things were getting ironed out and straightened out, but no major beefs, just a little information. Got approached by one club that most of their members had, you know, those 10-inch blades.
The what?
10-inch blades. We call them a hog leg.
Yep.
So the one gentleman, he took me off to the side, and he said, "Hey, I've been meaning to ask you this, and I forgot all about it, but is this legal?" Not here. So I sent him the list of what to do, what not to do, and I also sent him the one that's what to do when you are packing steel.
Right.
Whether it's a gun, a knife, or a hammer, or whatever. As well as how to stay out of the back seat. Yeah. Everybody laughs, but there's been five people that tried it already and it worked. They didn't get locked up.
Yeah, if you know the rules and you know the laws and you know how to shut your mouth and conduct yourself accordingly, you can get out of most things, providing you know what you're doing.
Yeah. If you're not sure, don't fake the funk, because you will end up in the back seat.
Exactly.
And if you're not sure what to do, you can go to the daily blog that Bill and I do. And everything's listed there. And always the first five things that pull up are all the information that you need. There's what to do when you get pulled over, how to record, rules of engagement, how to stay out of the back seat. A lot of pretty good articles. A lot of time and effort went into those.
Absolutely.
And then we might be ending this early. I got a long day. I moved to another ship, so I got a different time schedule.
Okay.
But how's things going in the Midwest?
Oh, you forgot my name. Okay.
No, I didn't.
It's very hot here.
I didn't forget your name.
I'm just razzing you.
Here in boxers with a t-shirt. I'm comfortable. I'm sitting here with a pair of boxers and a t-shirt. I'm comfortable.
I got boxers and a t-shirt on too, but it's so hot as ass outside.
Well, I'm dressed.
So am I, but I always wear boxers.
Yeah.
Normally. well in this kind of weather anyway. That's about as far naked as you can get without getting in trouble. Ugh.
Well, yeah, as long as you don't leave the blinds up.
Oh, I don't care. I leave the curtains open. Don't bother me none. People want to look, that's their issue, not mine.
But, I don't know if you joined us a little, I think you joined us a little late, but Sunday.
Yeah, just a few minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Spent Sunday at Bill's. Had a real nice time over there.
Good. I'm glad everything worked out well. I heard you both talking, so I'm glad it was good for now.
Just waiting on a couple of things to happen and see what's going on. Go ahead.
When are they going to start collecting on the shoes? I have shoes.
Well, I have to talk to the person there in Chicago to make arrangements of where they're going to be dropped off at and picked up.
Okay.
So, like I said, once I get all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, I'll send out an email. But
I don't know if they don't have a drop off point or something. If they want, they can use my garage. I don't care. You know. That's where they're at right now. They're all paired.
Well, the last time we had a collection point at Rusty's, he had to use 4 empty stores on the other side. We filled up 4 stores.
That's okay. I do have neighbors with a garage as well. It's not a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
It might be different out here, you know, than what it is in your state. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It may not be as huge as what was, you know, at Illusion.
Yeah.
Yep. I got kiddo ones. I've got adult ones, women's, men's, you know.
Yeah, I made a chapter challenge. And it's just that Bill and I had discussed what we were going to give to the chapter that collected the most shoes.
Okay.
So we haven't sat down and decided what we're going to give yet. But,
right.
At one club in particular from San Diego, one of their members, he was all on it. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, I'm just letting you know. I already have them, and it's going. So,
mm-hmm.
But they want them in a plastic bag, right? Like a...
They have
a contractor's bag or something.
Yeah, but they have to be tied together. The pair has to be tied together.
No, I know. They already are.
Well,
except
no, a lot of people...
ones that couldn't be tied together, but I use like a zip tie, you know.
Yeah. I was just going to say that because we had to go to a few bags and tie the shoes together.
Right. No, these I did myself, but like for the little kiddo ones. If they didn't have ties, you know, the zip ties work better.
And then, hold on 1 second. Let me play this real quick. I'll be right back because someone's knocking on the door.
All right.
Yeah, they're knocking on the door again, holding them at bay right now. But okay. Say hello to Art, everybody.
Hi, Art.
Hi, Art.
But,
Silent Art.
Yeah.
No, he's in the chat room, probably.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just a lot of things going on. Like August 2nd, which is a Saturday, we're going to have a ride up to Mount Soledad because they're trying to take the cross down again. And
Yeah, you guys did that last year, didn't you?
We do it every year, but along with that, and then there's an after party at San Diego Harley-Davidson that day, and then the other thing that's going to be on that day is the boot ride. So you guys know what a boot ride is. You've seen the pictures I take every year, but I've been hanging out with some of my friends, and it's going to be a little different this year. It's not going to be at the Happy Ending Bar. It's going to be up at Fashion Valley up in L.A. by the Forum where the Lakers play. There's a fashion district. So it's going to be a kind of like a casino night, but it's not going to be like it was before where you could pay $35 and get in and enjoy yourself. A group of four is $250 per head. Two is $350 a head. And then the single get all the fucking bells and whistles stuff is $1,000.
Wow.
And So I got almost 40 requests wanting to know if I'm going to have my VIP status again this year and how many tickets I was going to give out. And I'm here to tell you, $250 a pop, I ain't going to hand out too many.
True.
But Art says he listens to at work when he can. Well, we appreciate that, Art. And
thank you, Art.
Just a few other things. Like I said, that and it's going to be the address. There is no address yet. It'll be given out like they do every year. For the starting point for the ride is the day before. It's not to make it too hectic. You know, when you match a large group like that riding together, God forbid something happens, and usually it does.
Right.
But, nothing else really going on, and I got a meeting set up where might be taking two motor cops off their motors.
Wow, they should be.
It's the ones that are doing the shenanigans.
Is that the ones that beat up that homeless lady?
No, not those guys.
Oh, okay.
This is a local PD.
Right.
Yeah, that guy's on vacation behind the desk till they figure out what to do. I think
He shouldn't be on vacation behind the desk. He should be out.
I think he should be prosecuted and relieved of his duties.
Yep.
But as you guys know, there's more and more of that happening. And because pets, basically dogs, are getting shot by these guys, a lot of them here in California are doing training.
Right.
How to tell when the dog's going to do something. Tell me about that picture you just sent me at a Patriot bike. What's that?
Like that. I haven't had a chance to read the article attached to it, but it's something to do with the Boston Fire Department. I don't know if they built the bike for competition because the article was just sent to me, and I can do so many things at once or I get sidetracked. But it has to do with the Boston Fire Department. I have to read the article more.
I can tell you what the article is going to say.
Okay.
Support for charity to raise money for something. Just haven't said what yet.
It's a good possibility because, but then again, you got to look at, too, there's been major cutbacks in the fire department in the state of Massachusetts. So they might be raising money for their own whatever. But like I said, I haven't had a chance to read the article. I mean, just in Fall River alone, you know, they're cutting back on the fire department, and with the city turning into the complete ghetto, you know, can't afford to be doing that, because we've got a lot of fires that happen in Fall River, more so in the last 5 years than I've ever seen in my whole life. So,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was going to say is I'll read up on the article after the show and find out what it's all about.
Yeah, I remember, like, back in the day, Detroit used to be like the one with all the fires all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty bad over here, and it just as a matter of fact, I had to see my niece tonight, and the reason being is that the other day she was parked on a side street, and she had her car off, her hazards on, and this car backed out of a spot and slammed into it, put a huge dent, and there was somebody who was driving up the street, and he stopped, of course, because, you know, he saw that she got hit, and like six people came flying out the house, and they were threatening to do bodily injuries to the person that stopped to help her, and they were threatening her, and she's got my nephew in the car, and he's barely a year and a half old. So this is the stuff, you know, the ghetto trash, the people that are corrupting and tearing apart our city. This is what it's coming down to. And my niece is not, she's not a party animal. She's not a biker. She's not, you know, she's just a very quiet, humble
person.
And she conducts herself very properly. She's a hard worker, and she's a great mother. And she came home a mess, a complete basket case. You know, she was afraid that, because she lives close to there, she was afraid that they were going to follow her, you know.
Right.
And the guy who tried to stop, you know, tried to stop and help her, he looked at her because one of the people that came out threatening to put a cap in his ass and everything else, he was like, I'm sorry, ma'am. He's like, I can't have this type of drama. I can't be, you know.
Right.
He said, I can't deal with this. And he took off. And she had like
He's
five people harassing her around that car. Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
All she wanted to do at that
just...
point was leave. She had the baby in the car, and they were making it virtually impossible.
Right.
You know, but that's what we deal with every day in Fall River, scum ghettoville.
He
know?
Was being
just,
a good citizen. And
yep.
Oh.
Yep, exactly. And they terrorized him to the point where he was afraid to even ask her if she needed, you know, an ambulance or anything. But she's got this
right.
huge dent in her car, and she's a single mom, so she only has minimal coverage insurance, and without
right.
collision, you can't even call, you know, your insurance company and put in a claim, nothing. So she's stuck with that big, huge dent, you know, and now her car sticks out like a sore thumb for these friggin' idiots if they want to harass her again. And I told her, next time some shit like that happens, she needs to call me right away and park the damn car and lock the doors, and I'll be there within
right.
a minute, and I'll settle shit real quick. Really.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play. You know, I respect everybody, and I respect everybody, you know, the boundaries of the city, who's sitting where, and, you know, I know how to keep my nose clean, et cetera. But when you gang up on a young 22-year-old who was minding her business, was waiting for somebody to come out of a house, and, I mean, look at her, to the point she had the hazards on, and she's got the car parked. She follows the rules, you know. And they did that to her, and as far as I'm concerned, they all need to be punched in the mouth, you know.
Oh, right, exactly.
You know, if that person who hit her had warrants or was in trouble with the law, he could have said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but, you know, I got some issues going on with the law, and, you know, let me try to help you with this den, you know, this is where I live, whatever. They didn't have to do that. All they did was use a scare tactic on an innocent person, and, you know, more and more, this shit just pisses me right the fuck off. You know, I can't stand this area anymore.
There was
because
no excuse
just,
for that.
No, none whatsoever, none. And, you know, and then I guess they were telling her, you know, call the cops, call this, call that, and we'll have your ass dragged out of the car before they even get here. And they were like, fuck you, and blah, blah, blah. And she was panic-stricken to the point when she got home, she had to take a sedative. She was traumatized, completely traumatized, because, A, She don't surround herself with that type of stuff. Like I said, she's not even a biker. There is no hardcore rebel in her whatsoever. She's a fragile little, like, thing, you know. And
right.
She minds her business and works hard and conducts herself in accordance. And, you know, to have that happen to her, she's afraid to unlock her door at this moment, you know. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her either,
you know.
Yeah, but I had to, you know, I was dealing with that tonight because I went over to her house, and that's when she was telling me everything that transpired, and I'm like, you should call me right then and there, not like 2 days after the event. And when she was talking about it, she busted down in tears immediately. You know, the girl's been severely traumatized by this. She's afraid. And all because the dude wasn't paying attention to what he was doing, backed out of his driveway and slammed her car. And he was in the wrong. And whatever he's got going on, you know, obviously, it's pretty intense to the point where you need five people to threaten one woman
a female.
And a small child.
Exactly. That's,
you know,
the problem.
You know, and like I said, there could have been a courtesy there. He could have been straight up with her and said, look, you know, I'm in trouble. I blah, 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 but I'll do what I can to help you with this. Please don't call the authority. You know, any type
right.
of cordial, and the way she is, if he would have just said that to her, she would have been, it's okay, because the way she is, you know, it's
right.
okay, and blah, 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 and, you know, all of this could have been avoided. But no, they got nasty. They, you know, five people came tumbling out of the damn house, all threatening everybody. Really?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, did it make him feel any better because it was 5-1? Come on.
That's the thing. They used intimidation, and I'm sure she's not the only one that they've used that on, because, you know, you don't just decide to up and do that, you know, hey, let's try this out. That's something, you know, if you've done it before, it's well orchestrated, and according to everything that she told me tonight, that was definitely well orchestrated.
Right.
You know, so...
Oh, I've been in situations like that where, you know, people have bullied me in my face, and it's like, yeah, back the fuck up. I don't care.
And it's got me really irritated and aggravated that the city has become such scumville.
Scum?
You know,
yeah.
It's terrible. The whole thing is terrible. The way it went down. Everything, and it just shouldn't have to be that way. Hold
Nobody
on a second. I gotta give my mommy some ice cream. Give me 1 minute.
Okay.
Yeah, we get there's maybe 30 or 40 doses a day out here.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Nobody should
well,
go through that. I mean, I tell people, and I never like. Anybody that I've helped, I mean, the last one, a dude's bike, you know, he wasn't flying any colors or anything, you know, but a dude's bike, you know, the way it was running, I knew he was going to have an issue. He ended up breaking down at the corner, you know, and I walked over by him. I said, hey, you need gas or a jump? And he goes, a jump. I said, come on. And he pushed his bike over to my place, you know, and pulled out the charger and got him going, you know. It's like... You know, what happened to that in the world? Obviously,
it doesn't exist. And see where you guys live, you, Nora, Chicago,
yes.
And Phil out in the Dago area. Per square capita, you guys, you know, could fit a dozen or more of Fall River within
right.
your territories. And, you know, it's a city that doesn't have skyscrapers. You know, the tallest buildings are maybe 20, 25 stories high. They're only nestled in one area. And to have this type of crime that's taking place, you know, and during broad daylight, there was no night involved, it's ridiculous that they don't have this shit in order, you
right.
know. And, I was at a loss for words because, you know, if it would have happened to anybody else I know, I would have been, like, skeptical. Well, what did you say? What did you do? What did you do to
right.
entice them to do that? But knowing, I've known this girl since she was born, and knowing her the way I do, I know for a fact that she did not do anything to entice anybody, you know? And they're doing this type of behavior to more and more people, more and more middle-aged, more and more elderly. And, you know, people are afraid. People are nervous.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. It really,
well, you can't
really
blame. You can't blame her. You can't blame anybody else that has gone through it. You know, because unfortunately with society, you know, the way it is, they're getting more aggressive instead of, you know, hey, what, how it used to be like, hey, yeah, we'll give you a hand, no problem, you know.
Well, I'm going to share a little story with you all, because every now and then we touch base on the whole heroin addiction, you know, and we had a show one night that basically geared on all of that. But a particular person that I know, this dude, he has spent the last 20 years of his life doing 5 to 7s because he would come out, do a crime to get his fix.
Right.
Well, he was out, you know, for the last 6 months. It usually takes about 6 months. And he got caught in Rhode Island. And Rhode Island slapped him with 2 years. But because he had probation, parole, whatever the fuck you want to call it, he had tags on him. The state of Massachusetts, because he has crossed the do not pass go, do not collect $200, he has scored the all-time high on felonies. All to chase that heroin, he is doing 25 to natural life for habitual offense.
Yeah.
Isn't that, you know, I mean, that's something to be proud of, that 40-something years old, that you're going away for 25 fucking years, if not more, because you're chasing that needle.
No,
you know,
that's
and
something
that's,
to be proud of.
But that's what I'm saying, but this is what's going on. This is what's going on in the city. And, you know, I can't even fathom. I said to a couple of people, I'm like, how? I said, I would be embarrassed to be 40, 45, 50, 55, you know, chasing that addiction. It's like, when do you grow up? When do you be responsible? When do you accept life for what it is? You know, and make the best of it. Just like tonight when I was getting gas at the gas station, and my son was with me, and he's like, what's wrong with that woman on the corner? And I said, watch her. While I'm pumping gas, I said, I want you to watch everything she's doing. He said, okay. And he did. He locked eyes right on her. And when I got in the car, he said, now what's wrong with her? I said, that's what you call addiction to crystal meth, long-term use. She has no more muscle capability. She has no more teeth in her mouth. She has, and this is a woman I know, you know, from years of wandering the streets of Fall River. I know what her deal is, you know. And my son was like, drugs do that to you? I said, yep. I said, she's semi-retarded. I said, because her brain is so fried. I'm like, she can't function, as you can see. She's just about able to walk without, you know, every ounce of her jiggling and going in a distorted type of direction. But
right,
this is the shit that my 13-year-old has got to see on a daily basis if I have to go into that city. And that's how bad
right
it is. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And this woman was sitting on the main on a main street, half on the sidewalk, half off the sidewalk, trying to stand up, trying to walk, trying to talk to someone that wasn't there. Sitting down, falling down, you know, and I mean, people put these videos up on Facebook of people who are strung out like that, and everybody
right
seems to get a kick out of it, but it's not really nothing to laugh at, because it's happening. It's actual. People, you know, are doing this shit, and it enrages me. It really, really does. And, you know, I don't know what to say anymore. It's like, we try to raise our children in a good environment. We try to keep them protected from all this bullshit, but there's no longer a point of trying to keep your children innocent, because there's just too much going on around. Even when you try, like tonight, pumping gas.
Right.
You know, this is what my son's looking at while I'm pumping gas. And it's like, you know, I had to turn it into a learning lesson. I had to let him know that, you know, this is what long-term drug use of that extent does. And it's sad, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen with all this shit, but it's not getting any better, because there's no work. People's addictions are friggin' high, and they're taken from the people that are working hard for what little they have. And it's a nonstop vicious cycle.
Well, you know, I don't know. I can't say statistic-wise what how the drug scene is here, okay? But I do know someone that I've known since I was a kid. Just got popped the other day. And is being charged with a controlled substance with intent to sell. So, obviously, he had to have at least close to 400 grams of heroin and cocaine on his person at the time. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, the dude is 60 years old. When, like you said, when is
does
enough
it,
enough?
And,
exactly.
And it seems like, you know, driving around the city, doing what I got to do, the local errands, whatever. It seems like it's more middle-aged or people approaching 60-something years old that they're falling, you know, through the cracks. And that's what I don't understand. And I understand they've probably burnt out every single family member. Families are done with them, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, what a way to look at life that you feel that your life is so worthless or whatever you got going on that the only thing you feel that you're good enough for is the evilest of drugs. You know, my solution to all of this is that everybody should smoke pot. If everybody smoked pot and got rid of all the other drugs, okay, we would live in the most happy society. Everybody would be happy and hungry and, you know, and laid,
and
laid
and
back.
Hungry.
Yeah, everybody needs to wake up in the morning and smoke a joint, smoke a blunt, you know, pack your bowl, whatever, and lead a happy lifestyle, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, this shit with meth and, you know, the pain
crack
meds and heroin and crank, I don't get it. And when you reach your 40s, you land up with medical conditions because, you know, age, wear and tear. What the hell makes you think that, you know, that that's even healthy?
This is why
for
I
you.
Look at from... The time that I was 11 until I was 40, I watched my brother slowly die. It wasn't until, you know, the last 7 months of his life I saw him hit the express lane. And, you know, the saddest thing is because of drugs, it didn't matter the drug of choice because he did it all, you know.
Yeah.
And even though everybody else gave up on him, that was still my brother. Yeah, there were times I was pissed. I didn't want to talk to him anymore. I threw my hands up. I can't deal with this. But I knew the other side of him that most people didn't unless it was family. You know what I mean? And
yep.
I just sat there and I said, you wasted your whole fucking life on this shit. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yep, that was my friend who died on June 29th and was found by two crackheads, died alone, heroin overdose, and for the last 25 years, I've done nothing but watched him chase that high. And, you know, if he wasn't gunning down bottles of vodka, he was doing coke. If he wasn't doing coke, he was doing pills. If he wasn't doing pills, he was doing friggin' heroin, and in the end, man, that's what killed him. That's your final hurrah. When you stick that shit in your vein or put it up your nose, you might as well kiss the life that you known goodbye. Because I don't know of too many people, you know, that I know personally that have ever been able to kick it. You know, they either kick it and something stressful happens and they're right back on it, or they're dead, or they're in jail. You know, I don't know, and I mean, I'm sure there are some good stories out there that people who, you know, fought the battle and won, and, you know, my
but
best
to all of
them. But
it's very far and few between, right, and,
that's,
you know, I give kudos. Right. I give kudos to the ones that really put the effort in, really working hard at staying clean and sober, but, you know, the saddest thing is, like, with your friend, you've known him forever, you know,
yeah,
and that's
pretty
just
much.
Like with my brother. You know, and it's like when you see it, when you watch it, when you know someone, it doesn't matter, family, friend, you know,
it takes
still,
you away.
It does, you know, and people just don't get it. It's like, ooh, you got to be a party girl. Why the fuck do I have to be a party girl? Well, you look like it. Well, what the fuck does one look like? You know?
Yep.
And I chose not to go down that path. Not that I didn't try a couple things when I was a teenager, but I didn't get into it. I didn't like it, and it was okay. You know?
I've been a pothead since I was 13 years old, and I tell that to everybody. I don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I smoke green. I like to smoke green. It's my thing, and it's not a gateway drug because I'm not strung out on anything. And
right.
I can go
What I look at is,
smoking.
You know, what I look at is, you know, if you were here and you crashed here for a couple of days, you know, I don't care that you smoke. You want to go sit on the porch and smoke? Have at it. You know, am I going to say anything? No. But the only thing is, I don't want it done in the house. And it's
fine. No, that's, yeah.
You know, I mean, some people, they don't mind. They have other, you know, I don't know how you look at doing it. I mean, some people, they don't care. Yeah, go ahead and light up. But because of the baby and everything else, no. You know, just hang out on the porch, do your thing, no big deal. Come in a happy camper.
Yep, it's to each their own. But like I said, in my perfect world, everybody be smoking every morning and going off very happy and hungry, getting a coffee, getting a donut, getting their smoke on, and it's all good, you know, because I can tell you this much. In all the years I have smoked the green, I don't think at any point in time when I have smoked, I have gotten irate. The times I've gotten irate, I have been no smoke in my body, and those
right.
are usually the dangerous times. No, when I'm smoking, I just chill back. I don't want to be bothered with anybody's bullshit. It's just, you know.
But do you realize how hard it is to actually talk to someone that is clean? I mean,
no,
clean, drug-free, you know.
I talk to a lot of people that don't do anything. They don't even smoke. They don't even put sweet and low in their coffee. They're totally
right.
organic, you know. And, I mean, that shit don't bother me neither. Like I said, it's each their own, except when it comes to this hardcore shit that, you know, long-term abuse, it fries your brain, and it does something to the nervous system. That's why they walk like they're all kinds of crazy and like a puppet. Even Xanax, which doctors prescribe like nobody's business for people to calm down, long-term Xanax use does irreversible brain damage. It fucks with your memory and everything else. And it's
right.
Why do people want to put this shit in their body? Like I said, smoke a joint and be happy. Be calm.
That's the way, you know, I view it. It just, you know, everybody should have a pot garden in their backyard.
It's just, you know, that's, I don't know. I mean, and you look at some of the island countries, okay, and, yeah, they're poor. They don't have a big economy and stuff. But they're like, hey, man, everybody's smoking and happy, man, you know, and you see a lot of happiness. And it is what it is. But, you know, that's
right.
just my take. If my perfect world, you know, the smell of 420 would be in the air 24/7.
But, you know, I have come across people that I know that smoke pot. And like I said, it doesn't bother me. That's their choice, not mine. You know, I don't
right.
knock anybody for doing it. The excessive hardcore drugs, yeah, I won't tolerate that crap at all.
Yeah, that's not my forte either.
But, you know, I have met people that smoke pot so much where it was like, it just literally reeked out of her pores. I'm like, damn, you smell. But I don't mean it rude or anything
no,
like that.
No.
It's just, damn, kind of lighten up there on the smoke, will you?
I got.
But see, I didn't
smell
it on you. You know what I mean?
Yep. I finally got an appointment in Boston, Massachusetts. At the very famous Joslin Clinic. It is
okay.
strictly for diabetics.
Excellent.
It takes time to get in there.
The other day, we had a real scary episode. My sugar dropped down to 39. And if the storms didn't roll through here and my siren didn't go off on my phone with the emergency broadcast, we got a storm coming, I probably would not have woken up, you know, because I was lucky to be able to have heard the alarm where I sat up and just started, like, shaking like I was going through convulsions. And my son took my blood, and then he was running up and down the stairs with everything under the sun. But for those of you who don't know, you know, I've got some severe hypoglycemic issues going on. And the doctors in Fall River are not giving me the information I need. I'm finding out more and more different things on different websites, and I'm not talking about WebMD.com. I'm talking about Johns Hopkins University, Boston University, Harvard University. I'm going onto medical college websites. People who deal with this stuff every single day try to find cures, preventive measures, et cetera, et cetera. And when I presented some of this stuff to the Fall River Idiots, they were like, oh, no, 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 no. Okay, yeah, no. I'm going to Boston, the best. They're the best for the reason. They have people flown in all around the country. And the only part that scares me is that my appointment's on September 11th. But it's all good. You know, it's all good. And that's that. But, you know,
okay,
I can't encourage...
Besides you being, you're being diabetic, you're also hypoglycemic? Or is that part of your diabetes?
I'm diabetic with hypoglycemia. Yep.
Okay. See, I know about hypoglycemia because my grandma had it.
And it's hard because when you throw in both at once, you've got a sugar battle because your pancreas and stuff is not recognizing that you're adding sugar to your body. And what happens is it's not shooting out the insulin. And technically with the diabetes, you eat things to maintain your insulin. With the hypoglycemia, it shoots off to the liver. The liver gets confused and the pancreas doesn't secrete the insulin, and it just makes for a big ball of mess. Like, you know, today my blood sugar was up over 200. 3 days ago it was down to 39. So I'm when I tell people I'm sick and I'm struggling at this point, I am. And I mean, I'm exercising every day. I'm eating all the things I'm supposed to eat, but my body is going through a battle. And I'm hoping that Boss can find some sensible solution to try to balance all this out. And everything I've read, I'm probably going to be insulin dependent. And it'll be a quick release insulin that when it drops, you inject and it brings it back up. Because those little sugar tablets don't work for me.
Well, I mean, you do keep like hard candies and like tabs and orange juice in your house and stuff too, right?
Yeah, but, you know, that's an old wives' tale. What people don't realize is that when people drop down, when their sugar is low, they get blurred vision, they get slurred voice, they almost act as if they're drunk, they can pass out. A common folk would probably overlook that as drunk, you know?
I know.
And the thing is that the people that don't want to shove a Snickers bar down your throat, the worst thing you can do is give somebody in that condition candy. It's the truth, because candy and chocolate and all that stuff has concentrated fats in it, and before the body will recognize the sugar, it begins to break down the fat. So you're going to wait even longer, and what's going to happen is you're going to spike 2 hours later. What you need to do is give the person a glass of 1% milk, because 1% milk has the fat content that the body will push aside. It doesn't need to analyze it in any way, shape, or form right at that moment. And the sugar that's in milk immediately gets dispersed through the body. When you're dealing with juice, you're dealing with another high spike. It's a quick release to get you focused, but it's not something that you can drink your juice.
It's a long-term effect.
So I'm battling very high, very low sugar, and my body's going through hell at the moment. And I'm moody as a motherfucker. And, I mean, everything I've read, it causes irritability. It can cause anxiety. It can cause all kinds of friggin' shit because, you know. So I'm trying to get all this straightened out. And with luck, it'll happen. And my daughter will be here in less than 2 weeks.
I know. And you're not talking to anybody for a week. I already know that.
Yeah, between what's going on with myself and going on here at the home and preparing for my daughter to come down, I don't have time to think. But I'll tell you this much, the last trip to the doctor's, they didn't want me driving nowhere alone because I've passed out one too many times. So at this point, I'm not allowed to drive by myself until I have the Boston appointment. So, you know, my limitations right now, on top of being irritated and sick, are really limited because I can't even jump in the damn car and go take a drive.
Right.
Yeah, without being accompanied by anybody, you know, and it just, I understand.
But it was a good cause.
I understand because, you know, I mean, God forbid I was by myself and something happened in the car, and even I don't understand, putting a person in the car, if something should happen, there's a possibility of injuring two of us, but they say another person can see the signs of stuff coming on before you, and I don't understand that neither because my body tells me, except when I'm asleep, there's nothing I can do about that, but my body tells me, you know, shit's going wrong, and I have enough common sense to address the issue, you know, immediately. But I'm trying to get this all worked out because I returned to school, you know, culinary first week of September, and I'm going to miss a day out of school to go to Boston, but I'm going to tell chefs it is what it is. I've waited, you know, you got to wait to get into Boston, got in there, and he's just going to have to cook without me that day. So, you know, I have to, you know, so many people overlook when they have hypoglycemia, type 2 diabetes, they overlook it. They don't address it. They don't take care of it. They think popping a candy or, you know, diet one day, eat your ice cream the next is going to fix it all. And let me tell you something, you know, I've lost a substantial amount of weight over the last 2 years. I exercise. I eat at home. I don't eat out. I cook organically, and I'm sick. You know, so when you get this diagnosis, you need to address the stuff going on with your body, or you're going to land up in kidney failure, liver disease, heart disease.
I know.
You're going to lose up, you know, losing your limbs, and several different other things. And the problem in my case is that, you know, it's hereditary. This is my gene pool. And I'm battling against elements that I can't stop. Like, you know, if you don't have diabetes in your family and you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, that's relatively simple to correct. It's called lose weight, eat right, you know, cut the sugars, and within a year and a half, you can get right back on track without medication intervention, just, you know, having your A1C blood work done every 6 months and checking in with your doctor. You know, but type 1, that's totally different. You know, that's all insulin. And when you're like me, diabetic and hypoglycemic, yeah, your body's going through hell.
Right.
So, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm trying to, like, put some awareness out there. You know, if you got family or friends that are going through it, and hypoglycemia is no fun. It's not. Like I said, I've passed out several times. I've landed up taking down shelves, having goose eggs on my head, cutting my arm wide open.
Right.
A lot of scary things have happened, and it's not fun. So, you know, family, advocate around those who are diabetic, encourage them to eat right, encourage them to do their glucose meters, encourage them to stay with their doctors, or if they offer to, let's go out to eat, encourage them to, like, let's go to the market and get some good fresh stuff and bring it home and cook and have a nice dinner on the home front, you know.
Right.
It's amazing how depressed you can get when you're dealing with this shit, because there are times when you feel like you're the only person in the world who understands, and it's good to have, you know, somebody just say to you, you know, I got your back. I may not be able to relate to what you're going through, but, you know, I'm going to try to make this road a little bit easier for you, you know.
Right.
And you would be surprised at how much that, you know, means to a person. I know how much it means to me. You know, I've got my friends that are constantly, you know, asking me, did you eat? Have you eaten? Did you check your blood? And, you know, right. on some days I just want to take my meter and throw it. You know, my fingertips are raw. They hurt. And, but I thank God. And, you know, because I've got good people around me that are very supportive, because I can't even imagine the way I feel right now not having people.
If you were alone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, people in your family who are diabetics, reach out to them, because, you know, they're battling something that, you know, you can't feel it because it doesn't hurt. You can't smell it because it's inside. And it's a real hot mental issue because, you know, you're always thinking, did you take your meter? Do you got your glucose tablets? Are you packing snacks? Did you eat? Are you going to be home on time to make sure you eat? You know,
right.
you always have to pro-think ahead versus not think. And, you know, when you live in today's society where everything's going at 110 miles per hour and you're running on the last minute and you're gathering up the kids and running out the door, it's so easy to forget about yourself. And when you're diabetic, you can't do that. You can't forget about yourself. You can't put the snack that you should have had in your bag on hold. You know, if you drive up the street, you need to go back to the house and get that stuff, you know, because it's important. It is. And if you want to be around for a long time, you have to do everything that you can because, you know, and there are people out there that, the diabetes is just too powerful for them. They're doing everything that they're supposed to do, and it's still, you know, this aching disease. I look at it as it's as bad as cancer, you know,
right.
because you've got it in control one minute, and then the next minute your body says, fuck you. No, not this week. We're not doing this. And,
right.
and you know, you don't have a microscope or a device to look inside at your pancreas and, you know, talk to it and say, hey, you know, it's time we shoot some insulin out here and take care of this, you know, matter. You can't do that, you know?
Right.
And I mean, even with cancer, you can go through chemotherapy, you can go through radiation. You know, my BFF is a breast cancer survivor. She's almost 6 years in remission. And, you know, you get remission. With diabetes, there is no remission. It's an everyday thing. It doesn't go away. You can control
right.
it, but it's still there. And, you know, I feel that they need to promote more awareness for diabetes, you know, as much as they do for cancer, because, you know, a lot of people, they don't die from being a diabetic. They die from diabetes complications where
right.
kidney failure comes in, sepsis comes in, so many other things. And, you know, some of them, it's their fault because they didn't decide to do what needed to be done. But some of them, it's not their fault. They were given a nasty set of gene pool, and it's taken its course. And, you know, those are the people I really feel for, because, you know, that's the battle I'm in right now. It's my gene pool. And,
right.
you know, it's going to be until I go up to Boston the next, you know, couple of weeks, I'm pretty much, you know, have to be in tune with everything that's going on with me. And, you know, that's just added stress on top of everything else. But I just, you know, I want people out there, you know, hug your diabetic family member and tell them that you love them and you understand and that you're going to cook them a good organic meal, you know? Do that,
hey,
do
know,
that for them and let them
know you
appreciate
you know, you're
them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on everything, because we all know people we've lost in the last couple of years over diabetes, over cancer. And
yes,
it's sad. It's sad. The government's known since 1971 that pot helps people with cancer.
Yeah, and glaucoma and several different other things. Absolutely true.
But on that note, I want to say thank you to both of you. You were very entertaining tonight. People got
well. Next time we'll wear our tutus.
Yeah. Well. Time out for you.
It's
time, It's time for Bill to go to bed.
Yeah, I'm going to let Charlie Baker take us out with a little ride. And just so you guys know, Charlie Baker now lives in California.
Nice.
Yep. And actually saw him, invited him down to Rusty's, and he was there. And he
awesome.
Showed up. And
nice.
He was planning on coming down this last Sunday, but things didn't work out, so he's going to be at the next event on the 23rd. I'll tell you guys about that one off the air, but it's going to be a good one. Someone we know who just had a movie going to be there signing and taking pictures.
Nice.
And last Sunday, Bill and I got invited to the after party, the party after the party. So
nice.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys after that next couple days, but let me take us out with a little Charlie Baker. This song's called Ride. It makes you want to go out and ride a motorcycle. Listen to the words.
Air feels good on my face. Sound of the engine.